Oppenheimer, by rights, was a long shot. He was just 38 and junior to many of the people who he would have to manage. He was a theorist, and this was a job that called for experimenters and engineers. His political affiliations were dodgy. He had all kinds of friends who were communists. Perhaps more importantly, he had never had any administrative experience. He was a very impractical fellow, one of Oppenheimer's friends later said. He walked about with scuffed shoes and a funny hat, and more important, he didn't know anything about equipment. As one Berkeley scientist put it more succinctly, he couldn't run a hamburger stand. Oh, and by the way, in graduate school, he tried to kill his professor. This was the resume of the man who was trying out for what might be said, without exaggeration, to be one of the most important jobs of the 20th century. And what happened? The same thing that happened 20 years earlier at Cambridge. He got the rest of the world to see things his way. Here are Byrd and Sherwin again. Oppenheimer understood that Groves guarded the entrance to the Manhattan Project, and he therefore turned on all his charm and brilliance. It was an irresistible performance. Groves was smitten. "He's a genius," Groves later told a reporter. "A real genius." Groves was an engineer by training, with a graduate degree from MIT, and Oppenheimer's great insight was to appeal to that side of Groves. Byrd and Sherwin go on, "Oppenheimer was the first scientist Groves had met on his tour of potential candidates who grasped that building an atomic bomb required finding practical solutions to a variety of cross-disciplinary problems." Groves found himself nodding in agreement when Oppenheimer pitched the notion of a central laboratory devoted to this purpose, where, as he later testified, "we could come to grips with chemical, metallurgical, engineering, and ordnance problems that had so far received no consideration." Would Oppenheimer have lost his scholarship at Reed? Would he have been unable to convince his professors to move his classes to the afternoon? Of course not. And that's not because he was smarter than Chris Langen. It's because he possessed the kind of savvy that allowed him to get what he wanted from the world. "They required that everyone take introductory calculus," Langen said of his brief stay at Montana State. "And I happened to get a guy who taught it in a very dry, very trivial way. I didn't understand why he was teaching it this way. So I asked him questions. I actually had to chase him down to his office. I asked him, 'Why are you teaching this way? Why do you consider this practice to be relevant to calculus?' And this guy, this tall, lanky guy, always had sweat stains under his arms. He turned and looked at me and said, 'You know, there's something you should probably get straight. Some people just don't have the intellectual firepower to be mathematicians.'" There they are, the professor and the prodigy. And what the prodigy clearly wants is to be engaged at long last with a mind that loves mathematics as much as he does. But he fails. In fact, and this is the most heartbreaking part of all, he manages to have an entire conversation with his calculus professor without ever communicating the one fact most likely to appeal to a calculus professor. The professor never realizes that Chris Langen is good at calculus. The particular skill that allows you to talk your way out of a murder rap or convince your professor to move you from the morning to the afternoon section is what the psychologist Robert Sternberg calls practical intelligence. To Sternberg, practical intelligence includes things like knowing what to say to whom, knowing when to say it, and knowing how to say it for maximum effect. It is procedural. It's about knowing how to do something without necessarily knowing why you know it or being able to explain it. It's practical in nature. That is, it's not knowledge for its own sake. It's knowledge that helps you read situations correctly and get what you want. And, critically, it is a kind of intelligence separate from the sort of analytical ability measured by IQ. To use the technical term, general intelligence and practical intelligence are orthogonal. The presence of one doesn't imply the presence of the other.